Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Fitness Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
Here it is, folks. For my birthday, I'm reading this, and it's from someone named Patty McGuire from Oakland, California. For my birthday this year, my wife purchased me a week of private lessons at the local health club. Though still in great shape from when I was on the varsity chess team in high school, I decided it was a good idea to go ahead and try it. I called and made reservations with someone named Tanya, who said she's a 26-year-old aerobics instructor and athletic clothing model.
Sounds great already.
My wife seemed very pleased with how enthusiastic I was to get started. They suggested I keep an exercise diary to chart my progress. Day one. Started the morning at 6:30 a.m. Tough to get up, but worth it when I arrived at the health club and Tanya was waiting for me. She's something of a goddess with blonde hair and a dazzling white smile. She showed me the machines, took my pulse after 5 minutes on the treadmill. She seemed a little alarmed that it was so high, but I think just standing next to her in that outfit of hers added about 10 points. I enjoyed watching the aerobics class. Tanya was very encouraging as I did my sit-ups, though my gut was already aching a little from holding it in the whole time I was talking to her. This is going to be great! This is like the seafood diet. Day two. It took a whole pot of coffee to get me out of the door, but I made it. Tanya had me lie on my back and pushed his heavy iron bar up into the air. Then she put weights on it, for God's sakes. My legs were a little wobbly on the treadmill, but I made it the full mile. Her smile made it all worthwhile. Day three. It's deteriorating. The only way I could brush my teeth was by laying the toothbrush on the counter and moving my mouth back and forth over it. I'm sure I've developed a hernia in both pectorals. Driving was okay as long as I didn't try to steer. I parked on top of a Volkswagen. Tanya was a little impatient with me and said my screaming was bothering the other club members. Day four. Tanya was waiting for me with her vampire teeth in full snarl. I can't help it if I was half an hour late. It took me that long just to tie my shoes. She wanted me to lift dumbbells. Not a chance, Tanya. The word dumb must be in here for a reason. I hid in the men's room until she sent Lars to get me. As punishment, she made me try the rowing machine. It sank. Day five. I hate Tanya more than any human being on the planet. If there was any part of my body not in extreme pain, I would hit her with it. Day six. I got Tanya's message on my answering machine wondering where I am. I lacked the strength to use the TV remote, so I watched 11 straight hours of the Weather Channel. Day seven. Well, that's the week. Thank God it's over. Maybe next time my wife will give me something a little more fun, like a gift certificate for a root canal. I hate Tanya more than any human being. It all starts out, you just like the diet. One Oreo cookie, the rest of the bag. Oh,
yeah, and he well. Graduated to the cheesecake eaten right from the freezer. I had a similar experience.
Yes, just recently.
Only it was a one day. My wife decided that it would be a great idea if I went to the gym with her. My wife goes
she
to the gym.
She goes to the gym every day.
She goes like four,
9 to 10 hours.
Four
a day.
Days a week. I don't know what she does there. And so she says to me, well, you'll do my workout. She figures, I'm a guy.
Sure.
I work at the shop all week. Right? Hefting transmissions and the like.
Yeah.
She almost killed me. And I didn't, my pride kept me from saying uncle.
Well, that's what happens. Can you let your wife lift more weight than you?
Well, we were sitting.
No.
She shows me how to use all these machines. I sit there and she says, okay, you're going to do 15 curls. So I do. She does 15 and shows me how they're done. And I remember roughly. So I do 15. And then I get off the machine. She gets on. But before she gets on, she adds weights to the thing.
Oh.
She does another 15.
Oh.
So, and effortlessly. So being the guy, I do 15.
How'd you feel when you got to 12?
I'm dying. And then she does another set of 15 with even more weight.
Amazing.
My body, the whole body, I felt like, you know, if you had been run over by a truck, I felt like that for 5 days.
I remember you moaning and groaning.
I used two tubes of Bengay. I was rubbing it on my eyes. My eyes even hurt.
Did your hair hurt?
Everything.
Everything.
I never ever went back, and I'll never go again. It's barbaric. God. Anyway, if you want to talk to us about your car or anything else, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. My name is John. I'm from Columbia, Missouri.
Hi, John.
John, a nice, simple, straightforward name.
Yeah, even without the H, so it's even shorter.
Oh,
it's without the H.
Like Jonathan.
Exactly.
Ah.
But I go by John to keep it short.
John's good.
Okay, not as simple as I thought. See, nothing is as simple
Columbia,
as it
Missouri.
Seems.
Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
What's shaking?
Well, I have a 1989 Chevy S10 Blazer.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I was driving to a wedding with my fiance, and near the end of our drive, smelled something funny, which is always a worry. Whenever I smell something funny, I think, oh God, I hope it's not my car.
Or my fiance.
Or my fiance. Oh boy. And I was trying to figure out what it was because it was a familiar smell to me. And I was a biochemistry major in undergrad, and eventually I decided it kind of smelled like boiling acid.
Good.
So knowing that the battery is about the only place where there's good amounts of acid in my car, when we stopped at the church, I got out and checked it, and sure enough, the battery was boiling.
Just, excellent. Good for you, man.
And so after I let it cool, I went and skipped out on the reception for a little bit, got a new battery, and took the old one out. The old one was still really hot. Even it was kind of almost swollen a little bit and really ugly looking.
Yeah.
And put in a new one. And
that's too bad.
Well, no, maybe not.
After I put in the new battery, I noticed that it tended to run high and would have every now and then kick over into too high. Giving me too high of a reading.
Yeah, that's what fried battery number one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And is beginning to fry battery number two. Yeah,
exactly.
Classic overcharging.
Okay.
And that results in acid boiling, expansion of the battery, and it can blow up.
Exactly, because it makes hydrogen, right?
You got it.
Yes, it makes hydrogen gas.
All those biochem courses were worthwhile.
Parents
this is all
well
he retained from those courses. Basic batteries 101.
So where are we now? Have you replaced the alternator? And this thing has
a built-in voltage
regulator in the alternator.
Okay.
Which you could replace. You could replace just the regulator part of it.
Okay.
And which is what's wrong.
Okay.
The alternator produces electricity.
Correct.
And
the regulator regulates it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it makes more electricity the faster it turns. You know, Faraday's law, that was one of the other courses you took.
No, he didn't take that course.
He didn't take that course. He was busy taking chemistry courses. So if it's turning too fast, it'll make more electricity than you want, and that's why you have a voltage regulator, which prevents that electricity from getting to the battery.
Okay. Okay. Now, a couple years ago when we were going to this other wedding, the car did the same thing. Yeah. Only this time the battery smelled like rotten eggs, and it looked even worse than this one that I just took out.
That battery was bad.
It was,
That battery was sulfated.
Okay.
That's why the rotten egg smell.
Oh, okay.
That was a battery failure for a different reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This battery number two here failed because the thing overcharged, and battery number three, which is the current battery, is about to fail if you don't fix the problem.
Okay.
So replace the voltage regulator, and you'll be ready to go to another wedding. Probably your own.
That sounds great. I was worried that my car might be jealous of my fiance or something like that.
Nah, I don't think so.
That doesn't happen these days.
Nah.
Good.
Well, if it does it again, I'd be suspicious. Yeah.
Good luck, John.
Well, thank you guys very much.
All righty.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rita.
Rita.
Yes, I'm calling from San Diego.
Rita. From San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely Rita Mita Maid.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, I'm cooking in my car because my air conditioner doesn't work. Okay, let me tell you the story. I've taken it down.
What kind of a car is it, first of all?
Toyota Celica 86.
Yeah.
So I took it to be serviced at that $59 special, which is guaranteed for 30 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy said there's nothing wrong with it. It's just tuned up. It's great. So the next day it doesn't work. So I take it back. I have gone back.
Wait, was it working when you went in?
It wasn't working when I went in. It worked when I left.
So he.
Oh,
he,
it did work when you left.
Yeah, it worked when I left.
Yeah, he put a shot of Freon in it, and
yeah.
Did he do that?
I think so.
I mean, it he said there's nothing wrong with it. How did he explain?
Just needed servicing. Just needed a shot of Freon, and it's all set.
Okay, gotcha.
So in the 30 days that it was guaranteed, I took it there 6 times because it never worked again.
Really?
It only worked when you shut the car off 3 times in a row. So I looked for 3 stop signs, and after 3 stop signs, it turned on and worked.
Wait a minute now. You come to the stop sign, you shut off the engine?
Right.
You start it up again. It's not working.
Go
you do that 2 more times.
Yep.
And on the 3rd time, you start the car up and the air conditioner's working.
Perfectly. Now, the guys at the air conditioning place, they think I want to date them or something because I've been there like 6 times in 30 days.
Mm-hmm. This is the same Jiffy air conditioner place.
Yeah, every time they see me, they go, hello, it's you again.
Hi, Rita.
And then I leave the car there, and then when I pick it up in the afternoon, they go, there's nothing wrong. You just want to see us, huh? Uh-huh.
Oh, so when they test it, in fact, it does work?
Well, you have to think about it. I drive there and shut it off. Yeah. That's one. I turn it on while they're there and show it how it doesn't work. That's 2. I leave the car there. They turn it on. That's 3. It works.
You got a problem with this?
It's the mystery of the 3.
Now, what if you were to start the thing 3 times in your driveway?
No, you got to go.
You got to go to the stop signs.
You got to go to a stop sign or look for a red light.
All right. Let's define some terms here.
Right.
What does doesn't work mean?
Means it blows, but only hot air is coming out.
But in every instance, they claim that there was nothing wrong with it. And
so they truly think that I'm there to visit them.
Yeah. Have you baked for them yet? Have you baked anything?
You mean like cookies?
Like cookies, yeah.
Well,
banana bread's good.
Banana bread, carrot cake is good.
Lasagna.
Lasagna's not ready for that yet.
A little too personal.
That's advanced.
You've got to know somebody pretty well before you start making main course meals. You have to work on just desserts.
Yeah.
Main courses. It's like, it's like holding hands in the movies.
No, I haven't progressed.
Lasagna is more a transmission kind of thing. And the, beyond that is engines only.
Okay, no,
but
I haven't cooked.
Air conditioning is cookies.
Yeah, engines are like turkey dinners with all the trimmings.
Well, that's where I am.
Well, I think that what's happening is your compressor clutch is not kicking in all the time.
Okay.
I mean, it could be something as simple as a bad connection. But if, in fact, they haven't put any additional Freon in and it wasn't working when you went in, it may just have been luck that they did the 3-start thing. Why? I don't know what the magic is about 3 starts.
The 3 starts does make sense because if the compressor is not kicking in, it's probably the relay. Which sometimes will work and sometimes won't. And if you try it enough times, it works.
Right.
And have you tried just turning the air conditioner on and off on the dash and a little button?
Oh, yeah, frantically.
And that doesn't help?
All right, here's what you got to do, Rita.
Yeah.
Do you know where the compressor is?
No.
All right, well, next Tuesday when you go back, have them familiarize you with the location of the compressor.
Oh, okay.
And what you want to determine is if the compressor is, in fact, working or not working.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to ask them to show you when the clutch is engaged and when it isn't, and you'll see the belt is going around the compressor.
The belt is always going around.
But you will see an additional component that is ordinarily stationary begin to spin when the compressor is engaged, and that is the clutch part. That's the magnetic clutch.
Okay.
So what you have to do is see what it looks like when it's off. And then notice what it looks like when it's on, and there should be a difference. And they'll point out the difference to you.
Right.
You'll see the entire pulley assembly rotating.
Okay.
My guess is when it doesn't work, the compressor is not kicking in.
Okay. Compressor.
And there are a lot of reasons why. If there's not enough Freon in the system, it won't kick in. But when it does work, it works great.
Oh, it works great.
Yeah, then there's enough charge.
There's definitely enough charge.
But you have to, in fact, tell them that you think the compressor is not kicking in. It could be a bad switch. It could be a bad relay. Who knows what it could be. Why it happens with 3 turns of the key and 3 only, I don't know.
I don't either.
But they're going to have to figure it out. But you want to be able to tell them definitively that the compressor is not kicking in.
Yeah, and if you had an assistant, if someone was driving around with you, it would be easy to do this because...
You can open the hood.
Open the hood. One person stands outside. One person sits in the car. car.
Oh, no, no, no. You open the hood and have the person hang out the window with the hood open.
I know people who will do this.
Sure.
Oh, everyone does.
Because if you have...
Almost any guy will do it.
If you're standing there and someone turns on the air conditioner, you will actually see this clutch engage. You'll see it go clunk.
Well, I think those guys at the air conditioning place are missing me. I haven't been there in a while, so.
Well, you'll be there in a couple of days.
Well, I think you're happy to see me again.
You should spend the next 2 days baking and then pay them a visit.
How many guys are in this shop?
Four.
Do they all know you?
Oh, yeah.
By name?
Yeah. Here she comes again. Hello, Rita.
Yeah.
I would go for something.
Exotic?
Don't make anything. I don't think it's cookies. I go for something lighter, something more refreshing.
I think these guys would like flan.
Flan would be good.
Flan would be good.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would go for a nice flan, iced flan.
See you, Rita.
Thank you very much. I'll be thinking of you as I'm baking the flan.
I'm sure you will.
Good luck.
Yeah. See you later.
Thanks for calling,
thank
Rita.
Thank you. Bye.
See, the only thing we failed to ask her was what kind of creamer she uses. I think it's time for us to take a little break. Would you agree?
Good. I have to, because I have to deal with this invasive worm that I got over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? Can you make it to the IT department and back before our break's over?
IT department? I'm going to the nurse's office. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute.
And I'm down at the fuel shop with the bedbugs and the reapers, drinking my coffee. Waiting till when I'm back on the big road with the low boys and the flatbeds. It's 300 miles before I'll stop again.
And even though the lost city of Atlantis decides to stay lost for a few more millennia, whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish...
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean...
Old. Previously aired, you know.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and... not the answer to last week's Puzzler. We'll remind you, Puzzler addicts, that we post a Puzzler a week all summer long on our website, cartalk.com. So if you're really bored, you've got nothing to do, or the boss is away, and you can do it furtively, go there and loiter. For the rest of you, the Puzzler is on summer vacation, and we'll be back sometime in September.
The Puzzler is on vacation. Let me get this right now. But we're here.
Yeah.
So we can, like, just go right on misinforming the American public about cars, right?
Absolutely. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christine from Seattle.
Christine with a C-H, huh?
That's correct.
Oh. Are you as young as you sound?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I'm 25.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oh.
Then you're not as young as you sound.
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm like 16, but...
That's what I would have said.
Everyone thinks my brother's 16, too, but not from the way he sounds.
That's so hard to believe that.
So anyway, what can we do for you?
Well, I have an Oldsmobile Delta 88, 1988.
An 88-88.
Yes.
This was Dad's car, huh?
It was my father's Oldsmobile. So I recently moved to an apartment in downtown Seattle where I have to park on the street.
Yeah.
And one day, after I had parked it kind of on a hill, I started it up and it kind of made a weird noise when I started up. And then when I turned the wheel, it made a terrible growling kind of noise.
Oh. When you were on the hill, was the car pointing down the hill or up the hill?
It was facing up the hill.
Hmm.
Okay.
My brother's got that look on his face like, what the hell?
Does that matter?
No, it gets weirder. You never know.
That's
for one thing, you have to be able to visualize the problem.
And I actually had just driven it to my dance class and parked it, and then later on in the evening, I was going to my parents' house.
My brother goes to dance class, too. Oh, that's dunce class. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Was this the first time you had used the car that day?
No.
You had already been to
dance
class.
Yeah.
And you came back, and it hadn't made the noise before.
No.
Okay, continue.
Okay. So I drove to my parents' house. It made a bad noise. I took it to their mechanic, who looked at it and said, oh, you need to fill it up with power steering fluid.
Right, because it's low on fluid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I like that.
So I took it to one of these, you know, quickie lube places, and they looked at it, and it was foamy when they looked at it.
That's right.
And they said, you need to flush the system. So I said, fine, flush the system. They did, and the noise went away.
Yes.
Then about a week later, again, I was parked on a hill, and I think I was pointing up again, but I'm not sure about that. When I turned on the car.
Well, if you're not sure about it, we can't go on.
Oh. it was pointing up, definitely.
All right, we'll accept that.
So it started making the noise again. And I drove it around for about a week before I did anything about it. And I took it to a mechanic who looked at it and said that the power steering rack was leaking.
Oh, that's why you've lost the fluid, and that's why it was foamy, because when they filled it up, they didn't bleed the air out, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So you need a rack and pinion.
And is it safe to drive?
As long as you keep putting fluid in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's not leaking out faster than you put it in.
Uh-huh.
Then you could drive this car for decades.
A few weeks ago on the show, we made some disparaging remarks about all the companies that make all these miracle additives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's time for you to buy one.
We got angry letters from all of them. And claiming, of course, that they all work. And it's time for you to try one.
Okay.
There was this stuff called power steering conditioner. Many companies make it.
Okay.
I would buy a can of this stuff, leave it on the front seat, and at the first hint of it needing fluid, i.e. the noise, fill it up with this juice instead.
Yeah. And at some point, it'll start leaking out faster than you can put it in, and then you dump the car.
Okay.
It's not worth fixing. It's an Oldsmobile.
Oh. See you, Christine.
No, the Delta 88 was not a memorable car.
Well, not memorable, but it's got sentimental value.
Though.
It's Daddy's car.
She hates it.
I have 170,000 miles. Yeah,
that's not bad.
Those are great cars, though.
And that 170,000 miles is pretty darn good, no matter what kind of car
it
is.
Indestructible, those 88s.
See you, Christine.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to patch the mosquito netting in the MG?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps!
Now, before you introduce this week's contestant, I'm curious. You know, we've been doing this for a while now.
What, Stump the Chumps?
What's our record so far playing Stump the Chumps?
Well, it's 5-2-3.
Really? 5-2-3? That's 5 times we were correct, twice we were incorrect.
Right. And 3 times that the injuries sustained in following our advice made it impossible for the contestant to use a telephone, so they don't count.
Okay. Well, who's this week's chump stumper?
Well, you may remember John from Center Hall, Pennsylvania. He called us a while back with a vexing Volkswagen problem. Whenever he drove his wife's Golf, the horn would go off at odd times, unpredictably. But this never happened when his wife was driving.
Yeah.
Gee, did she hear a harp playing when she was driving?
That's the dream sequence, you knucklehead.
All different times. The last time it happened, I sat in it without touching the wheel because I figured that might have something to do with it. Put the key in, turn the key, and there goes the horn. Now, it happens, it'll blow anywhere from just a quick little beep to, one time we were both in the car and I was driving and it went on for about 5 minutes.
Oh.
So she swears there's a lard butt indicator under the driver's seat.
Maybe. the lard butt detector. I thought that was only available in like Buicks and Caddies.
Me too. I mean, what did we tell John? Do you remember?
Well, we told him that there was probably a loose wire and somehow he was completing the horn circuit when he drove it. How? We had no idea.
That's right. And we found it hard to believe that the wire was running anywhere under the seat.
No, of course not.
That eliminates the theory that it has to do with the fact that John is a sort of a porker. I guess. I don't know.
So, anyway, let's find out. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, before you let us know if that cheesecake and beer diet solved your horn problem, we have to Carmen Mirandize you.
Yeah. Do you swear that the statements that you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps are true and at the very least not influenced by anyone at National Public Radio or the $100 check you got in the mail?
Yeah, and that was a mere pittance, hardly worth mentioning. Anyway.
It was worth more, but that's all we could afford.
We have no chance of being right on this because we gave you no answer.
We gave you no real answer.
Well, it was kind of it might be a chafed wire in the steering column kind of deal, but you guys are sort of responsible for the fix. Someone called me from Car Talk several days later and said that they had been getting some calls of people who thought they might know the solution.
Really?
Oh.
And the question was, are you using the key that came with the car, or are you using a key that you had cut at a hardware store? And, of course, I was using a key that was cut at a hardware store, and the fix was either grind the tip of that key off or go back to using the Volkswagen-supplied key. So I found another Volkswagen-supplied key, the kind my wife had been using the whole time, and put it on my ring, and it hasn't happened since.
No kidding!
Yeah, but my wife, when she gets in the car, she blows the horn on purpose just to drive me nuts.
Well, I don't understand how that happens.
Well, somebody, the fellow who called me back, or the woman who called me back, said that some of your callers had said that the key was too long and it was actually completing the horn circuit.
I've never heard of that happening. But I would have to say that we were wrong then.
Oh, absolutely.
I would have to say so, too.
Yeah, well, we won't be calling you again, John.
Well, that means our record will either, right now it stands at 5-3-3, but with another phone call, we can make it 5-2-4.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Just to hedge my bet, I've been losing weight.
Good idea.
Hey, thanks, John.
All right, so
good luck. Hey, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Why wait? Call us and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Mom in Princeton.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Where the hell are we getting?
It's what three people call me the time, but I am not going to reveal my identity because very likely either myself or my oldest son are going to be mortified at the end of this conversation.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
One or the other.
We're protecting one of us.
Yeah.
Well, my situation is not so much a question about a particular car, but about cars in general. A little background. My oldest son, who is just almost 19.
His name is Son.
His name is Son.
Son.
Yes.
Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny.
We'll call him Sonny.
And he's, by the way, no longer living here, so he can't present his side of the argument. And
good.
I'm going to really try to do him justice and not do him a disservice.
Okay. And I have like an 18-and-a-half-year-old son, so I can be some kind of an expert witness here.
Yeah, I think you probably understand a lot. Oh,
his name is Jerko.
Yeah.
No, hey, Jerk.
Yeah, my son may have a few other names for me, too.
Yeah.
In any event, since he was a tiny little guy, he has always been interested in taking things apart. Sometimes he would even put them back together. But he has a real curious mind and a natural ability to problem solve.
Sure.
I, on the other hand, have been described as mechanically declined by people who care about me and don't want to hurt my feelings. That's probably the most positive spin we could put on it.
All right.
So when the following situation took place, I assumed my son knew what he was talking about.
I'll tell you right up front here. That is one of the biggest mistakes that a parent of an 18 or 19-year-old can make. Because they are very, very powerful in their presentations.
Yes, I would concur with that.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So the story opens on that really, one of these really, really hot summer days that we've had on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
Blistering.
Yeah.
My son is giving a going away party for himself, and we're at a discount store buying hamburgers and all the fixings for 40 people.
Is he going off to college or the United States Army or what?
He went into the United States Army, and that is why he cannot defend himself. He is trapped in basic training.
Not in Fort Dix, New Jersey?
No.
Oh, no, no.
No, no. He's in a much hotter place in Missouri. Yeah. So it's with some kind of caution that I'm presenting the story here. Because,
yeah, all right. Okay. So here you are. You're buying right. hamburgers and hot dogs right.
we,
for 40 people.
And we come
people.
Out. We've got this huge payload of frozen stuff. And we come out to the van. I don't know if you're interested in the make of the car. It's
yes, we are.
It's a 1991 Toyota Previa. So we open the car, which has been locked for probably an hour.
And it's 375 degrees inside.
And we had been driving probably 30 to 45 minutes before that.
Right.
So this car is really hot, and we have a lot of food that we need to keep cold. We pull out of the parking lot, and we're waiting in line to make a left turn. And my son turns on the heat, full blast.
Okay.
Uncle Sam needs you. I can see.
Yeah, this is good. And you say, hey, jerk. And he says, no, that's Tom's son.
And, you know, and this is like the last day or two that my son's going to be home for a very long time. So I'm trying to keep everything really pleasant and nice.
Yeah.
And I said, is there a particular reason that you turned the heat on, you know, the air conditioning button? He said, no, Mom, the deal is when the car is this hot, it will cool down faster if the heat has some place to go or the heat.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Okay. And so I didn't question him.
You know, mechanically
I
declined.
I mechanically declined.
Right.
So I grinned and bore it as long as I could, but it was so incredibly hot that my skin hurt. I couldn't stand the heat. So I pulled rank, and I said, this is my car. Turn on the air conditioning and roll up the windows.
Yeah.
And that's, we ended it not amicably.
Yeah.
He was rolling his eyes and saying the meat's going to be ruined, et cetera.
Yeah.
So the meat didn't get ruined. We got home, which isn't that far away anyway. And I'm just really curious. Would that have worked if I'd been able to stand the heat?
No. Your son was completely wrong.
Yeah.
He was mixing apples and oranges.
Like, this is like most of my brother's theories. There's a little element
of truth.
Okay.
In it.
Yeah. Or correctness.
Or correctness. And there's some validity to it, except not with regards to the meat. The meat certainly, I mean, that's why they keep the meat in a freezer.
Yeah, well, you didn't take it out of an oven to find it frozen rock solid like that.
Yeah.
What he was referring to is that if you are driving, for example, for a long time, you had just started up. You're driving for a long time and the engine is overheating, not the passenger compartment, but the engine. One of the ways to help cool down the engine is to turn on the heater, because the heater is basically another little radiator.
Okay.
So if the engine wasn't overheating and you didn't...
You didn't intimate that the engine was overheating.
And anything could have been overheating. It was so hot.
It was the people who were overheating.
And the hamburgers.
And the hamburgers. So, I mean, if he hadn't directly alluded to, look at how hot the temperature gauge is on the dashboard...
Right.
And was referring only to the heat in the passenger compartment. He was completely all wet.
Okay.
And he was trying to intimidate his mother, whom he was ready to leave for years after having lived with her for 19 years. And there is some kind of psychological thing going on.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it is. I've yet to understand it, but it's especially goes on between mothers and teenage boys.
Yeah. Well, my mother, who raised four of them, always said to remind me, honey, you have to let them go, otherwise they can't come back.
Yeah.
So this one is launched, and we hope he'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, he has made it easier for you to let go, hasn't
he?
See you, Mom.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Wow.
Bye.
Boy, oh, boy.
Boy, oh, boy.
It's tough, isn't it?
It certainly is. We didn't make it any easier. Anyway, it's time to take a short break so we can refresh my brother's medication.
I don't need no stinking medication! Don't need medication! I keep telling you that!
All right. That's good, Tommy. You don't need it. We'll be right back.
Red light, green light, here we go. A really motivated burning up in the road. Four carburetors and a hydromatic drive. I'm a turn down main at 105. Oh, 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 me. Take a look at that pink Cadillac. Oh, golly gee. With the four yellow wheels and the red on the back, I'm a telling you, Jack, whoop, I love that.
that pink Cadillac, Cadillac, Cadillac. Oh, well, yesterday morning I walked by the lot, I saw the pink Cadillac, and man, it sure looked hot. The salesman sold me that pretty little boat for no money down and $100 note. So, oh, oh, me, take a look at that pink Cadillac. Oh, golly gee, with the four yellow wheels and the red on the back, I'm a-telling you, Jack, I love that pink Cadillac, Cadillac, Cadillac.
And even though the black-eared Mantella thinks, you know, extinction might not be all that bad whenever Ed hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and another metaphysical conundrum.
This letter comes from Barry Goldensohn of Cabot, Vermont, and he addresses it to Car Guys, Car Guy Plaza, Car Guy City, Car Guy 00000. Dear Car Guys. He says, here is a letter I wrote to Volvo in 1964. It should appeal to your taste for metaphysical conundra.
Mm-hmm.
Research Division, Volvo Auto Company, Gothenburg, Sweden.
Yes, I know it well.
Dear sirs, I have owned a 1953 Volvo wagon for 2 years, in the course of which I have replaced almost every moving part in the drivetrain, brakes, and suspension. If you would be willing to underwrite the expense of replacing the few remaining parts of the car, we will have evidence for solving one of the enduring philosophical problems known as the problem of Ulysses' ship. If in the course of his voyage, Ulysses replaces every board in his ship, is it the same ship at the end? Mm-hmm. In other words, does identity consist of continuity of essence or substance? Mm. In the research I propose, if the car remains unreliable after all of its parts have been changed, we will have hard evidence that its identity is unchanged because its essence will be unchanged. Indeed. It is essentially unreliable. Looking forward to hearing from you, I remain sincerely Barry Goldensohn. He evidently really wrote this letter. Within a month, I got a letter back informing me that they were not underwriting research at that time. And they thanked me for my very, quote, spiritual letter. Their refusal I attributed to philosophical cowardice. Best Barry Goldensohn.
No, they couldn't take a joke.
Well, here's the key sentence. In other words, does identity consist of continuity of essence or continuity of substance?
Essence. That is deep stuff, man.
Sonia Henisutu. Well, we'll get a little response to this little baby, I tell you. I love questions.
What was this guy's name? Just further evidence.
And it is not on company letterhead.
No, it is not.
You know why? Because he's from Vermont and they don't work in Vermont. He wrote this in the barn, milking the cows. Well, Barry, you've certainly stretched our perspective on things today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Talking about new things.
Ulysses Ship.
It's time for the new puzzler.
No. You can't fool me, boy.
Well, normally this is the time where we deliver you the new puzzler, but there is no new puzzler this week.
No, there isn't.
Because our dear puzzler is on summer vacation. So if you're dying for a puzzler, you can try one of our archival puzzlers on the World Wide Web, which you can find at cartalk.com. And if you have a puzzle you think we can use next puzzler season, send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
our fair city,
Mass 02238, or you can email it to us from cartalk.com.
Yeah. But yeah. In the meantime, what?
In the meantime, you can call us.
What's the number?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to do all the work. You don't know the stinking number?
I don't know the number.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is July C. Becker calling from New Jersey.
July C. Becker.
Yes.
Calling from where?
New Brunswick, New Jersey.
New Brunswick.
Yeah.
Been there many times.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah, so.
Now, we could ask the obvious question.
Yes,
July.
Like, how did you get a name like July? You got a sister named May and one named June?
No.
I mean, those aren't.
It might be personal.
Well, really, it's just that I was born this month.
Oh, you were.
That interesting.
Oh, really?
I'm not named after a Playboy centerfold or anything.
Oh.
That would be Miss July. That'd be an interesting first name. I'm Miss July C. Becker.
No, I am a librarian, and the little kids call me Miss July.
Miss July, they call you Miss July.
I mean, if that's the case, what month would you least want to be born in?
Oh, March.
March is exactly my thought.
Yeah.
March.
I mean,
March Becker.
Anyway?
March Magliozzi. March, Magliozzi. My Sergeant McNeely used to say that all the time. March, Magliozzi.
I thought it was push-ups. Anyway.
Okay, so July.
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I have an 85 Nissan Sentra, which seems in good condition, but I have this strange, mysterious sputtering thing that happens very sporadically. Otherwise, the car is in good shape, but every once in a while, and I can't seem to relate it to, like, whether it's, you know, hot or cold out or whether the car's been, you know, it'll do it when the car's just started or it'll do it when it's been going for an hour. Or, and I'll put my foot on the gas, and instead of picking up power, it'll, you know, lose power. And then it'll start really sputtering and hesitating, and I've got to practically floor it in order to get to go 40 miles an hour, and it just gets very cranky. So I checked my, I did a fuel treatment. That was my first thought.
Yeah, did that help at all?
No.
Of course not.
Sadly.
Yeah,
it never
does.
That would have been nice and cheap and easy.
Yeah,
and I,
yeah.
You know, I changed my gas filter. I changed my air filters. I changed my cap. And then I ran out of ideas. So I don't know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you, we have had, not just we, everyone who's worked on Sentras has had problems with the fuel systems forever in a day. This is carbureted. At some point later in the 80s, they changed the fuel injection. For a lot of reasons. Number one, they had to make the things run more efficiently and whatever, but also to get rid of those damn carburetors. But they couldn't get rid of them until they had sold them all. So they must have had a big warehouse full of them. And once they finally sold the last one, they were able to switch over. But
it's something like the coffee mugs that we give away with the Puzzler thing. Right,
right when we run
same
out.
Same idea?
Roughly the same idea.
Yeah.
Now, it's possible that you have a weak fuel pump.
A weak fuel pump?
Resulting in a low float level.
Okay.
Yeah, you can correct that.
So that what's actually happening is you're running out of gas.
What?
Well, the carburetor is running out of gas. The way the whole thing works is the gasoline's in the tank. And the pump pumps it to the carburetor, and the carburetor feeds it to the engine.
Oh.
So if the fuel pump doesn't deliver it to the carburetor, the engine basically runs out of gas.
And there's no way to predict when that's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. Have you narrowed it down to the circumstances under which this occurs?
She says it defies being narrowed down.
Yeah, it refuses to.
You're sure of that, though?
Erratic.
Well, is it more likely to do it when the tank is less than half full? Maybe you haven't thought about that.
I haven't thought to check for.
Aha.
How about on days starting with an R? Like Ruse Day or Wednesday. Or is it months with an R in them?
Is it most likely to do it, more likely to do it in hot weather, rainy weather?
No.
First thing to have is have the mechanic test your fuel pump pressure.
Right.
And in some instances where the fuel pump is borderline, changing it will solve that problem.
Is that something I can get to myself?
The fuel pump is hard to get to, actually, because it's bolted to the backside of the engine.
Because I try to do what I can. You know, I mean, either you have money or you have a manual.
Yes, I can see that you are a person who does all this stuff yourself.
I try.
A self-healer, I believe we call them.
A what?
Self-healer.
Okay.
You don't go to doctors. You dose yourself with whatever it takes.
Well, there are certain herbs that can cure this, actually.
Yeah. We're coming out with our herb and acupuncture
auto mechanic book. Allium Sepa is good for this.
Well, I did have an astrological chart done on my car.
You did?
No. It could be an astrological problem.
It could be an astrological problem.
But you're not going to be able to test the fuel pump yourself unless you have the tool.
Oh, right.
So you'll have to take it someplace.
Okay.
Well, I mean...
And if they tell you the fuel pump is bad, then you can change it yourself.
Right. That's what I was going to suggest. You may not have the equipment to test it, but once they tell you that it's bad, you could probably take a shot at replacing it because it's not impossible.
Now, if that doesn't work or if the fuel pump doesn't test bad, the next thing to do is to rebuild the carburetor.
Oh,
I know.
No, the next thing to do is try to live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm sorry. That's...
I'm driving cross country in August, and I just don't want it to suddenly sputter and die while I'm in Death Valley or something.
Yeah, then rebuild the carburetor. If the fuel pump is okay, rebuild the carburetor.
Okay.
You need some excitement in your life, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if you want a project, when are you leaving for this trip?
No, if you really want excitement in your life, rebuild it en route. Buy the kit and take it with you.
Oh, yeah, do it by the side of the road in the dark.
I don't know if I'm up for that much adventure.
Yeah, that's a lot of adventure, especially for a librarian.
Hey!
No,
watch out, or you're going to get an enormous fine. You
oh, my God.
Well, have a wonderful trip, but get this thing checked out before you go, because it probably will conk out on you on the trip.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
See you July.
Good luck,
July. See you in August.
Have a wonderful time, and good for you for getting out of New Brunswick for a couple of days.
Right?
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys.
Hey, who's this?
This is Jamie from Richmond, Virginia.
Jamie.
Richmond.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, you guys do a phenomenal job of helping people fix your car, but I have a kind of a different twist. I need you folks to help me destroy a car.
Oh. Now, you want to talk to my brother. I don't know how to destroy a car.
Oh,
no matter what I do, cars last forever. But my brother, he knows.
I am expert.
He is a wrecker.
Tell you what I got here.
Yeah.
I have a 1988 Hyundai Excel with 147,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Okay. Now,
have
this
you told Hyundai
to be...
about this?
What's that?
Have you told Hyundai about this?
Apparently, they're not available for comment. They take no responsibility for anything made prior to yesterday.
Yeah.
However, I have a deal with my wife. We recently bought her a car, a nice Mazda Protege, all fine and well, so she can go about her merry way, but I'm stuck driving this piece of hog.
Until it croaks.
And we have a deal. If I can destroy this vehicle without getting into a major accident, but keeping it, you know, generally lubed and generally well-maintained, but can destroy it by way of mechanical failure, then I can get the new Jeep Wrangler I want.
No problem.
Now, before you start tossing out suggestions, I got to let you know what I've tried to do to it.
Sure.
Well, I was traveling down I-95 on a closed race course and getting it up to its shutter and shake speed and then just, throwing it into second gear.
Didn't try reverse?
Couldn't find it. It wouldn't let me go there.
There was no reverse. Okay.
Basically, I approach every speed bump and railroad crossing like the Joey Chitwood stunt team.
Yes,
and
that's
try
good.
To see what kind of airborne velocity I can get.
Yeah.
Basically, if it's raining outside, I look for big puddles. Mm. I mean, the James River is nearby, but I can't seem to find a road leading right to it. They seem to put a bridge there every time.
Yeah, you make
no, that wouldn't be crooked. I think the most effective way to end the life of this car is to use what's called the red line theory. Does this have a tachometer?
Nope.
Perfect.
It's got a clock.
All right, use the clock.
Under no circumstances are you allowed for the next 3 days to shift beyond second gear.
I was going to say first gear.
Well,
you want to give him second?
I'd give the engine a fighting chance. I think you can do it in second.
Well, I do need to get to work in an expedient manner.
Yeah, I think you need to go second gear at the maximum highway speed that's allowed in your area, which must be 65.
Well, we're talking the south here, so that's negotiable.
It's negotiable. So 65 miles an hour in second gear, that'll get you to about 7,000 RPM.
That'll which ought to be enough to cook it.
Oh, minutes. In minutes.
In minutes, you say.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how far you can drive it in second gear.
Well, it's been 3 months now.
Yeah, but you've never done this.
Well, no, I kept it at third gear for about a week and a half to no avail.
See, that's why I wanted to know what the dollar figure was, because even if you did that, you could theoretically you could go to a junkyard and for less than $1,000 you could put another engine in it. So it's not officially dead yet.
You
know?
You have to do the engine and the transmission. Okay, well I think what you have to do then, drive it in second until the engine starts rapping, until the most prominent noise is this hammering sound that you hear coming out of the engine. That'll tell you that the engine is ruined. And then when you hear that, you have to do everything in your power to slam it into reverse.
And another thing you might want to just try once in a while when you can't get up to highway speeds is leave your foot halfway down on the clutch.
Okay.
And floor it. Yeah, that way...
You've already given up on oil changes. You don't do oil changes anymore.
We had a deal. I have to keep it lubed.
You have to keep it lubed.
I have to go to Jiffy Lube every so many miles.
Well, just that in itself might wreck it.
But anyway, you know,
I think the red line is what you have to exceed.
All right.
I mean, if you wanted to take a more passive approach, you could just park it in my brother's garage. That's what I've done with cars that I wanted to get rid of, even cars that I didn't want to get rid of. You leave it there for 2 or 3 days, and
all
of a sudden,
you leave
it there
for 2 or 3 years.
Gone. It's gone.
My brother has a warped sense of time. He asks if he can store a car at the shop for a few days, and next thing I know, it's been there for 5 years, and I keep asking, well, what are we doing with this? I'm going to restore it any day now. And I figure if I send them to the crusher, he doesn't even know they're there, and maybe years later he figures it out. And the only one he's really remembered so far has been the sleek black Beauty.
No, I also remember the Mercedes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Oh, well.
Hey, Jamie, good luck.
Thank you.
Second gear, don't forget.
You got it.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bungle Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his must-see conquest at the Muscle Shoals, Muscle Beach, Muscles Marinara Mumbo, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. The driver of our moving van is Carrie DeSofa. Our mortgage consultant is Nora Lender B. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iapoca. Our reluctant film editor is Francis Ford Cupholder. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aravindo. Our compassion coordinator is Ophelia Payne. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, as always, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Mark Wahlberg wannabe, strutting around Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother. Someone told us that we're doing that wrong. It should be don't drive as my brother.
Oh, really?
That could be, but we're not going to do it.
No, too late for that now. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1330, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag, all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week, if you have a question that didn't get answered today, you can always check out our online Car Talk community. It's patrolled by helpful amateurs who often know the answers to people's car questions.
And what's the basic difference between them and us?
Like I said, they often know the answers to people's car questions. Check out the Car Talk community, always available over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's corporate bonds get downgraded from junk to jalopy status whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.